your chaos and coffee with Charles McFall. He's the rock god of podcasting, just kicking down a little chaos right there in your coffee cup. The one and only Charles McFall with Chaos and Coffee.
And welcome to Chaos and Coffee, the Friday edition. I am Charles McFall, the rock god of podcasting, and I'm here to bring you your headlines to get you through the weekend. This ain't your daddy's new show, but it is going to be a lot of fun to share with your friends as you're out and about getting ready to enjoy the July 4th weekend. So I hope you have fun and be safe. But here is your first topic of the day. Now, I look for some fun news. I look for some real news. And I'm going to do a little mix of two today. So here we go. Prison inmate pay this woman to create and run their Facebook page almost 100 hours a week. File this under how do I get this job? Because that's kind of cool. So this is from the businessinsider.com, businessinsider.com. Early one May morning, Renee Royster arrives at her son's apartment, pulls out her laptop, and scrolls through the dozens of messages from prisoners that had collected in her inbox overnight. She began her daily grind of copy and paste, moving messages sent via Court Links, an email service available to federal inmates, to their Facebook pages they had paid her to create in their names. Eventually, she drifted to other tasks, helping prisoners look up old friends, sending them stock quotes and sports scores, and checking crowdfunding pages where they're raising money for legal bills. This is very smart of her. This is very entrepreneurial of her. It's a job that a lot of people wouldn't want. A lot of people would find this distasteful. But you know what? It makes her money. And, you know, it's providing a service. There is nothing illegal or even immoral about what she's doing. She's sharing their messages and giving them info that they are not blocked from having. They just don't have access to, as far as I understand this to be. So she lives in Toledo, Ohio. It does for up to 100 hours a week, stopping only for new Game of Thrones episodes and smoke breaks. She coined her operation Bridging the Gap and began more simply as a website and Facebook group soliciting pen pals for prisoners who submit a picture, a bio, and a fee. Such sites have existed since the 1990s, and there are now nearly 50, in addition to dozens of Facebook and Yahoo groups that together boast more than 100,000 free worlders looking for incarcerated people to write. Renee has become part of a network of small businesses that help prisoners keep in touch with these pen pals. In addition to friends and family on the outside, she exchanges favors with Pigeonly and InfoLinks, who are two other sites that do the same thing, apparently two startups founded by former prisoners that allow people on the outside to upload pictures and text with their phones, then print and send those images to loved ones on the inside. Other businesses, blah, blah, blah. So she's an entrepreneur. Not only did she jump into a market that needed help, she found ways to make money at it and partnered with other businesses doing the same thing. She sees herself as social secretary for people who have been derived from the forms of communication that are now ubiquitous almost everywhere except prisons, which is a reason they're not in prisons. Not that they shouldn't have this kind of access, but you don't. They're in prison for a reason. It's to isolate them from the world. We don't necessarily want them running their criminal. I don't know. It's part of your punishment. You don't get to follow your Candy Crush if you're in prison. That's your punishment. So I don't know what to tell you. But I think this is a very smart thing on her part. I'm going to scan this article a little bit more to see if there's more about it. So I want to know how much she makes. To help get the word out about her business, Renee has cultivated a network of prisoners who hand out her flower-laced business cards and post her bright pink flyers, ask about her monthly specials in prison common areas. She recently made roughly $1,500 in 2 weeks, a solid bump up from her last job at the Walmart deli. No kidding. Holy cow, that's $1,500. That's $3,000 a month. That's a good full-time job. That's a good one. She'll be your personal assistant. One man had her research medieval England so he could write a novel set there for $125 a month. She also sells, which is actually cheap. by the way. She also sells compound pictures, printouts of scantily clad women for 55 cents each to men who sell them on the inside for a markup. She maintains your Facebook page for 3 months for $50. That is dirt cheap. You know what? I want to give you a little business advice. You need to raise that price. That should be 50 bucks a month. Now, you know, income being what it is in prison, know your market. I'm not in that market. But what I'm telling you is you have to do 100 prisoners a day to make money. If you mark that up a little bit, you know, $100 for 3 months. You mark it up, you can have less prisoners and make more money. And people will still do it. So that's, man. That's interesting. So she talked, this is funny. She toggled over to one client's Facebook account where a woman had sent naked pictures, not knowing he couldn't see it. Renee typed a description of the image into cord links to the man. So she can't send the naked picture, but she described it to him, and she got a message back from asking her to respond. Damn, baby. I love this. This is such a great idea for somebody who wants to spend their time doing this kind of thing to make money. I've got a friend of mine that I might suggest this kind of thing to, because she has to stay home and take care of the kids. But this is something you can do on your own time at home, man. This is a great stay-at-home business. So, and of course, you make up your own rules outside of the prison rules, right? You know, you can't make up your own rules about sharing nudity, but you can decide not to talk about it if you want, not share that with the person, and just leave it there for them to have when it comes back. So there's a whole lot more to this. Man, there's a whole lot more to this article. So I will let you click the link and read more about it. But yeah. Kudos to you, Renee Royster. This article was written in the last couple of days, so they actually did some research for a while there, apparently, because it's also about being back in May, but they actually just wrote the article, published it a few days ago. So that's something to talk about this weekend when you're drinking your beer and watching your fireworks, right? What kind of job would you want to do from home, and what would you be willing to do? And don't make it too broad. You make it too broad, like, oh, I would never do this, No. Think about, use this context. Okay, so you've decided to run a business where you're going to run Facebook and or Twitter pages for prisoners. You know, they will feed you the info, you copy and paste it, you respond back to them, give them back stuff, charge your rates. And I'm going to look at her little card here. The rates on her card have Pen Pal Services, $20 for 3 months or $30 for 6 months. Platinum Facebook, $20 monthly, $50 for 3 months or $75 for 6 months, a minimum of 3 months. Pay includes free, I don't know what PPA, maybe PayPal is what I would think it is. Includes free PayPal. Facebook set up $25. I don't know what, PenPal? Maybe PP in this case would be PenPal. The picture's in the article. Go check it out. Ask me about dating sites. So she's got a bunch of different rates on here. And I mean, honestly, these rates are too low, darling. They really are. Maybe not for your market. Maybe, you know, if they can only scrape together $10 or $15 a month anyway. I don't know. Maybe they're getting family to pay for it. I don't know how they're paying for this. But use this, everybody. Use this. Okay, you're going to start a business where you're going to connect prisoners with the outside world. It's your business. You get to decide how it runs. What are the rates you're going to charge? What are the services you're going to offer? How are you going to run it? What are your guidelines? What won't you do? Man, that's going to make for a great conversation. Check that out. I, part of me goes, I don't want to do 100 hours a week. I've got my job as a professional podcaster. I've got my job hosting, but it'd be kind of fun to do 10, 15 hours a week. Give me, you know, three or four prisoners. I can do, you know, an hour a day, you know, maybe 2 hours a day and make some money. That's really, really interesting. And how she did that. So check that out, businessinsider.com. You can find the link in the show notes at blogtalkradio.com/chaosandcoffee. Or, of course, on the facebook.com/chaosandcoffee. You can find the show links there as well. So go check us out. We'll be back right after this word from our sponsor. All right. I am back. I am Charles McFall, the Rock God of Podcasting, in case you missed that in the first part of the podcast. And we are doing a news that has energy to it. You got your chaos, I'm bringing, or you got your coffee, I'm bringing a little chaos. Otherwise, I bring the coffee and you bring the chaos, and then you just sit here listening to me drinking my coffee the whole half hour. And actually, I'm not opposed to that because I love coffee. So here we go. Here's the serious one. Now, it's been almost 2 years since gay marriage was legalized as a federal statute across the United States. And I say about damn time. There's things about human rights that it just boggles my mind that we still use religion to keep people down when faith is built on the principle of bringing people in, accepting people. Jesus sat with the whores. Jesus went to, there was a dinner, and I remember being taught this when I was in church growing up. I can't remember the exact reference, but he went down to the low end of town to a dinner with the tax collectors and the prostitutes and just ate dinner with them and had a good time. You know, I'm not going to make bad jokes that offends your religious sensibilities, but what I am saying is that Jesus accepted people. He went to where he was. The condemnation that he had was for religion. Read the red letters in your King James if that's what you got to do. But his condemnation was for religion. So it still boggles my mind that we use religion as a baseball bat to beat the ever-living crap out of people and keep them down. And so when the law was passed that gays can get married in the U.S. equally and legally, that was a good day. It was a good day. But apparently there are still some states in our union that don't believe that. Today I have a new story, unfortunately, that broke today. Where did it break? Broke today, this morning. Breaking news. I got it again. Another U.S. district judge strikes down Mississippi's religious freedom law. File this story under, really? We're still having to deal with this? This is from the WashingtonPost.com. Again, it broke today. Jackson, Mississippi, U.S. District Judge Carlton W. Reeves late Thursday night issued an injunction blocking a bill by the Mississippi legislature that would have allowed private citizens and some public officials professing a, quote, sincere religious belief, end quote, to deny services to gays and lesbians. You guys, you're hurting my brain. You're hurting my heart. You're hurting my soul. But mostly you're hurting my brain because you can't get past the redneck jokes if you don't stop being ignorant, if you don't stop trying to keep people down. This is the government of Jackson, Mississippi. Jackson is the city. This is the state government of Mississippi doing this. The governor's in on it. The congressmen were in on it. The House was in on it. You know, it's the legislature. Legally, they're trying to say, no, we hate you. Go away. And if it wasn't such a ridiculous concept to say every gay member, every gay person in that state should move out of that state, you'd lose so much tax money, it wouldn't even be funny. But that's such a ridiculous concept to say you have to leave your home to be treated like a human being. Seriously, we're still doing this. Back to the story. Just minutes before House Bill 1523, which is linked in the article 1523, so you can read it yourself, was to take effect. Just minutes before it was to take effect at midnight, Reeves, the judge, eviscerated the bill. The most sweeping attempt by a state to undermine the Supreme Court's 2015 decision to legalize gay marriage as being in violation of the First and 14th Amendments. The state has put its thumb on a scale to favor some religious beliefs over others. Showing such favor tells non-adherents that they are outsiders, not fully members of the political community, and adherents that they are insiders, favored members of the political community, Reeves wrote, citing precedent. And the Equal Protection Clause is violated by HB 1523's authorization of arbitrary discrimination against lesbian, gay, transgender, and unmarried persons. Did you catch that? Unmarried persons is in this bill as well. Single moms, single dads, they're in this. So if you're a religious right kind of person, he's like, them gays are evil, but you're a single mom, you are lumped in with these people. You should be sitting here going, wait, what? What? Whoa, hold on a second. I'm put in there. That anger you feel right now, that outrage you feel that I'm being discriminated against, it's called human feelings. And that's exactly what you're doing to them. But yes, in this bill, unmarried persons was listed with lesbians, gays, and transgender. By the way, why is lesbian different than gay? Isn't it the same thing? I know it's a gender-specific lesbian or lesbian. Is that how we're doing it now? I'm honestly asking. You can write me, bearcrawling@gmail.com. I'm not sure why it has to be lesbian and gay. It's the same? But it's your community. I will honor your titles. I'm just curious. Anyway, back to the story. Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant said he expects an aggressive appeal. I thought I was going to say aggravated, so I emphasized the wrong syllable there. Aggressive appeal of Reeves' ruling. Like I said when I signed House Bill 1523, the law simply provides religious accommodations granted by many other states and federal law. I am disappointed Judge Reeves did not recognize that reality. I look forward to an aggressive appeal, Bryant said in a statement issued by his office Friday morning. Oh, people expect this is going to go to the Supreme Court. And guess who's going to slam it down? The Supreme Court, who said that gay marriage is legal throughout the entire United States. This is not a Freedom of Religion Act, which is redonkulous. And thank God the governor of Georgia stepped up and said, I will never sign a Freedom of Religion Act. It's a Freedom to Hate People Act. And by the quotes in this story, all you have to do is profess a sincere religious belief. Okay? That's not provable. That's not trackable. I by no means say your church has to now marry gay people. No. You're essentially a business. You have the right to refuse service to anybody, depending on your state, I guess. But in most places, I don't want to do business with you. I can tell you to get out. Now there's going to be a stink about it. If you tell somebody to get out because they're ugly, if you tell somebody to get out because they're black or white or Chinese, because you don't want to serve, fill in the blank here, because you don't want to serve your kind, that's on you, man. And legally, as a private business or a private church, you don't have to. You don't even have to tell people to get out. You just start preaching against them. If they want to stay and give you their money and be preached against, then, you know, whatever, that's fine. If they want to give you money even though you hate, quote unquote, your kind, that's whatever too. Yeah, there'll be news stories. Yes, you'll be publicly shamed. But that's your decision. That's your freedom to do that. However, to legally say, nope, they can kick you out, they can refuse service, and the fact that the government offices, they're saying the government doesn't have to follow the government. Mississippi State is saying, with this bill, their government people who issue licenses and do marriages and oversee adoptions, those kind of things. They're saying that they don't have to honor the Supreme Court's ruling that marriage is equal and legal. This is bad juju. And the article gets into some Jim Crow stuff, which I'm going to read in just a minute. So the preliminary injunction will hold until any appeals are completed. Then, if upheld, it will be filed as a permanent injunction. The federal court's decision recognizes that religious freedom can be preserved along with equal rights for all people, regardless of race, religion, or sexual orientation, says Robert McDuff, attorney for one of four groups to file suit against the bill. Reeves' decision comes 20 months after he struck down Mississippi's statutory and constitutional bans against same-sex marriage. It comes 3 months after U.S. District Court Judge Daniel Porter Jordan III in the same Jackson courthouse struck down the state's ban against gay couples adopting children. Oh, my God. Mississippi, what the hell is wrong with you? Why do you have to hate people? What's next? Okay, once we move on 10, 15, 20 years down the road, and now we're all good, right? We like black people. We like gay people. Who are you going to hate on now? And this is, so far, according to this article, this is not a voting thing. It wasn't like the majority of Mississippi stood up and voted for this. It was the representatives that they voted for. So perhaps there's a whole bunch of ignorant mofos in Mississippi who don't like gay people. I don't know, but what? Why? How do you get happiness in your life by spreading hate? How do you get happiness? Did Jesus not say, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's? That wasn't just about taxes, fool. That was about obeying the laws. Romans had horrible laws that made horrible things legal. Did Jesus preach against that? No, he didn't preach against any government. He said, give unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. If the law says gays can get married, guess what? You have to let them get married. I'm just saying. So moving on down, there's something else I wanted to talk about here. So who are we quoting? Roberta A. Kaplan, a New York-based attorney who represents plaintiffs in both the adoption case and HB 1523, invoked the state's racially segregated history in hearings in late June as a comparison to the proposed law. There can't be a separate but equal marriage, she told Reeves, the judge. There can't be a Jim Crow kind of gay marriage in the state of Mississippi. Do you hear that, people? Jim Crow, man, I am in the South. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. And I got to tell you, Jim Crow laws and everything that went on then and some of the stuff that still goes on now outside of major city areas, it's heartbreaking and horrifying. When we say separate but equal, there's no such thing. You can't be separate but equal. And the same preachers who preach against gay marriage, the same type of preachers who preach against gay marriage, preached against black people being equal. Take it back a few more decades, they preached against women being equal. Take it back a few more decades, they preached against alcohol being legal. And by God, I like my alcohol. All right, that was just a silly, stupid aside. I'm making light of a situation because it's getting a little too deep for me. I want it to be a little more discussion-oriented and a little less preachy. So I throw in some humor. But no, in all seriousness, the same type of churches, the same type of people who are rallying against gay people are the same people, type of people, because, of course, you know, time travel doesn't exist yet, but the same type of people rallied against black people being equal, rallied against women being equal. And you have women and black people rallying against gays being equal. I don't understand how this makes sense. I don't understand. So beyond that discussion, okay, that's an open discussion. The story here is about the law, about them trying to pass, state of Mississippi trying to pass a law blatantly saying you're not equal, and not just limiting it to gay marriage. Any service against lesbians, transgender, gay, or unmarried people. They want you to look and act and think just like them. And when you start passing laws on this level, it scares the ever-living piss out of me. There's one last thing I wanted to read. I'm trying to find it right now. It was about how people could get fired and this and that and the other. I'll read this real quick. Reeves, the judge, ripped into that logic in the conclusion of his 60-page opinion, quoting, "Religious freedom was one of the building blocks of this great nation, and actually is freedom from religion, sir, if you really read how it was written. But religious freedom, blah, blah, blah. After the nation was torn apart, the guarantee of equal protection under law was used to stitch it back together," he wrote. "But HB 1523 does not honor that tradition of religion freedom," and that's why he said religion freedom, "nor does it respect the equal dignity of all of Mississippi's citizens. It must be enjoined." Okay, here we go. This bill easily passed in the Republican-controlled House and Senate, and the governor enthusiastically signed the bill into law on April 5th. It was supposed to take effect last night. It sought to protect Mississippians who had three specific religious beliefs: that marriage was between one man and one woman. Okay, I got to stop right there for a second. One of God's most chosen people, Solomon the Wise, had a harem, one man, and I don't know how many women. And he's one of God's chosen because he picked wisdom. And we talk about that in Sunday school, and we preach about that in church. But he had a ton of wives. All through the Old Testament, there were multiple wives of husbands. It wasn't one man and one woman. It wasn't. Not through the Old Testament. Unless you want to call everybody hypocrites. I don't remember who it was. I think it was Moses that said, kill everybody in the city but the young women and children. I can't remember if children were there, but it's like, no, you were told to kill everybody in the city. I mean, that's the story about Moses and the whole conquering people with the Israelites and this and that and the other. So this whole one man, one woman thing, man, you're so off base. It's not even funny. And stop. And I'm a happily married heterosexual man. I've been married to my wife for 16 years, and I'm going to do the rest of my life with her. I have no sexual desire to be with a man. But I have a human desire to have other humans live their life. Stop trying to, because it doesn't stop. That's what I'm making a point of here. It doesn't stop with what you think. Oh, I agree with them. Them gays shouldn't be married. No, no, no. You will somewhere be legalized against. Somewhere. And here we go back to this, what this is saying. This is what the governor was saying, that the marriage was between one man and one woman, that sex is reserved for heterosexual married couples. And so anybody who's not married, according to the state of Mississippi, what they want to pass a law against, if you're not married, your sex should be illegal. Man, woman, doesn't matter. If you're not married, your sex should be illegal. And that gender is determined at birth. Court clerks would be allowed to deny marriage license to same-sex couples by asserting religious offense. A single mother could be fired from her job. Any private business owner could refuse service to anyone they perceived to be gay by citing the above religious beliefs. What they're not talking about in the article is what I just hit on, though. If you're at a job in Mississippi, if this law had passed and you're at a job in Mississippi and you're too young, a young man and young woman, let's just put you in the mid-20s. You're in college and you're at this job and you're sleeping together. You can be fired. Now, there are dating rules. I'm not, you know, yes, there are going to be dating policies of companies. This doesn't overrule any of that, right? This doesn't mess with any of that. But what I'm saying is, if I think you're having sex, according to this law, if I think you're having sex and my religious belief says sex is reserved for heterosexual married couples, you can lose everything. You can lose your job. This could say the state school, if they think you're having sex or if somebody accuses you of having sex and you're not married, they can kick you out of school because it's a state law. This article isn't even grasping the wide effing sweep a political hammer that this would be in that state. So just think about that. And we'll move on to my last funny concept here. But just think about that story, this story. U.S. District Judge strikes down Mississippi's religious freedom law. It's not, no law is about giving you freedoms. Laws don't bring you freedom. Laws bring you punishment and restriction. That's what they're designed for. You have the freedom to choose to put your seatbelt on. The law will give you a penalty if they catch you without it. You have the freedom to beat the ever-living crap out of me because you disagree with me. The law will put you in jail as a punishment. The law gives me something to go after you with. It doesn't stop anything from happening. It definitely doesn't give you freedom. We have freedom by breathing. We have freedom by choosing. Now, there are laws to protect certain freedoms. But when we start talking about religious freedom and really when it's just a thing to harm other people, and I'm not kidding about this. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not adding something in to make a point. It literally says equal protection clause is violated by HB 1523's authorization of arbitrary discrimination against lesbian, gay, transgendered, and unmarried persons. So anybody who's not married to the opposite sex is discriminated against in this bill. That's you, more than likely. That's somebody you know. That's somebody you love. That can get kicked out of school, state school. That this did not pass. I'm saying the ramifications, if this had gone into effect last night in the state of Mississippi, this is kicked out of school, kicked out of your job, refused service, discriminated against because you're not married and they perceive that you're doing something they don't like because all I have to do is say it offends my religious senses. Think about that for a minute. I got to take a break to reset. You know what? Check out facebook.com/chaosandcoffee. You'll have news. You'll have headlines. I'd love to get your interactions there. You can comment on the stories, on the shows. You can even send me your own links, and that would be awesome. But I do want to throw out something else a little more interesting. Actually, you know what? I'm not. I'm not going to force that. There's an article about a possible 51st state. D.C., District of Columbia, is looking to be the 51st state, and there's an article there by the Washington Post. But I'm actually going to leave you with that thought. What's better in life? Even if you don't agree with somebody, is it better to show them a better way, what you believe is a better way? Is it better to do like Jesus did and love everyone and still talk about what you believe and without judgment and condemnation? Or is it better to banhammer the crap out of everybody you hate and to give anger and hatred to them? I'm Charles McFall, the Rock God of Podcasting. Follow me on Facebook.com/Rock God of Podcasting, on Twitter @RockGodOfPod, and email me bearcrawling@gmail.com. Subscribe through iTunes and blogtalkradio.com/chaosandcoffee. I'm here Monday and Friday. You can only find this on Blog Talk Radio. Come on back Monday where we'll have 4th of July special edition, and we'll get the news out to you, give you something to talk about for the rest of the week. Till then, have some fun and enjoy your weekend.